You're listening to the Wobcast with the one and only, the legendary, the insurmountable Wobby.
Hey everyone, welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshall, inside TCO Studios at Winter Park. By my side, as usual, Chris Corso, the co-host and the producer of the Wobcast. We're set for a jam-packed show. Lots to get to. A lot on the line this week for the Vikings. It's going to be a fun time chatting it all through. What's up, Chrissy? How you doing?
What's up, Wobby? I'm excited for another good week.
Yeah.
There's a lot to play for in Week 17. You wouldn't think with a 12-3 team that there's so much to play for, but there certainly is.
Yep.
This week.
Yeah, and we're going to get to all of it. Full show today. Know the enemy, a stat of the week that Chrissy's going to share with you, over, under, and of course your mail. But first, some news and notes. Let's start, Chris, with the big picture look at the Vikings. They're 12-3 entering the season's final week. They currently hold the number 2 seed in the NFC. Of course, something to play for this week because they have not locked the 2 seed down. They could still fall to number 3. So let's go over what has to happen on Sunday for the Vikings to get the 2 seed, Chris. Obviously, it starts with winning your own game.
If you win your own game, you get the bye.
Yeah.
Coach Zimmer said this week, this game counts as 2 games, 2 wins, because if we win, then we don't have to play that bye week. He's referenced all the teams that have made it to the Super Bowl kind of in the past 10, 15 years. He said a lot of those teams were 1 and 2 seeds because they didn't have to play that first game.
Yep.
Obviously, the New England Patriots are strong holders of that in the past decade. So this game is very important. Looking at some of the other teams in the NFC, it's Carolina.
Yeah.
That's the team we're watching this week. That is the only team that can jump the Vikings to get that 2 seed. They will need to beat Atlanta this weekend, and then also New Orleans would have to lose to Tampa Bay this weekend, because then Carolina would jump up in the division, win the NFC South over New Orleans, and then that would give them as well the tiebreaker with us, mm-hmm. which they have, because they'd have the same record as us, and also New Orleans losing the division would allow them to get into the 2 seed. So
they also, though,
yep.
need the Rams to lose.
Also the Rams as well,
right.
Yes.
So they need 4 things to happen to jump us.
There's a lot. That's a lot that has to happen.
They have to win their game,
yep.
and they are underdogs at Atlanta.
Yep.
They need Tampa Bay to beat New Orleans, heavy underdogs.
Yep.
They need the Rams to lose, and then they need the Bears to beat us, and the Bears are heavy underdogs.
So I like our chances to get that 2 seed, but as we've said, as Coach Zimmer said, as the players said, we want to do it on our own.
Right. We do want to do it on our own. Our friends out in Las Vegas would tell you
I like this.
It's 75-1 odds on that 4-team parlay. If you parlay together the Bears, the Bucks, the Falcons,
yep.
and the Niners, who play the Rams, that's 75-1 odds.
That would be a nice hit for somebody.
So we hope no one hits that,
yep.
and we hope we win our game, and it's all a moot point. The top seed is the Philadelphia Eagles. They secured that by virtue of their victory over the Oakland Raiders last week, so they have home field advantage. They have a first-round bye. The road to the Super Bowl for the NFC for now goes through Philadelphia.
Yep.
Substantial roster move this week, you say, Chris?
Yeah, there was a big roster move at the beginning of the week. Nick Easton, our starting left guard this year, did suffer an injury there in the win against Green Bay. So that was a hit. Coach Zimmer, after the game, really acknowledged how great that Easton has played this year. Obviously, he spent some time at center as well as left guard where he played this season. He went to the injured reserve this week, so that's a big loss for the Vikings. And as well in the game against the Packers, it was long snapper Kevin McDermott who suffered an injury as well. David Morgan, our tight end, had to fill in and actually did a pretty good job out there in the freezing cold figuring out a way to snap the ball and be successful. But that means that this week we had to work out a couple long snappers on Monday, and we ended up with Jeff Overbow.
Mm-hmm.
To the active roster. He seems like an interesting guy. If you go on Vikings.com, you can read some fun facts about him.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's just to give us an extra long snapper so we don't have to depend on our backup tight end to be the long snapper.
And we haven't placed Kevin McDermott on the injured reserve. So of right now, as we're talking, he's still eligible to come back whenever he's healthy if we can get a first-round bye, so he wouldn't play in this game. Yep. Kevin McDermott wouldn't play against the Bears. Hopefully we win, and or even if we don't win, we still get the first-round bye. He won't play in that week, so in theory, he's got almost 3 full weeks to get healthy. It'd be nice to have him back. So
yep.
We'll see what happens. Going back to last week's game, the standout performer of the game was probably Harrison Smith, and I guess it was Harrison Smith, and the NFL basically affirmed that.
That's right. You had to look. Watching this game, you saw number 22 all over the field.
Everywhere, yeah.
He had 2 interceptions, 8 tackles, a few tackles for loss. I mean, anywhere you looked, he was there on the field. And it's funny because he was snubbed from the Pro Bowl. We talked about that last week, how he was not acknowledged in the Pro Bowl the week before. And guess what? The next week, he wins NFC Defensive Player of the Week. So that is just perfect timing.
Yep.
He did it on a national stage. I was actually back in New York for the holidays, and I'm with my buddies watching the game as I'm working, and everybody says, "Who's that guy on the – who's that safety?" And I looked at them, and I said –
Are you kidding?
I was like, how do you not know who he is?
Yeah.
And then just hearing that, that's like, I guess that's why he didn't get voted to the Pro Bowl, because people in the big cities on
I
the
never
East
would
Coast,
have thought that, honestly. I get it that people don't know maybe Pat Elflein or Daniil Hunter.
Yep.
I'll even give him like Eric Kendricks. They might not know who that guy is yet. But to not know Harrison
Smith.
And these
are pretty big football fans growing
for
up,
sure.
A bunch of these guys. All grew up huge Giant fans, a bunch of my friends, and they grew up watching the Vikings and stuff like that. But all of them were like, "Who is this guy? I mean, he's all over the field." So that was really cool to just get a different perspective, and then to see that performance he put on a national stage was definitely stood out to the average NFL fans.
Yeah. Mike Zimmer noted in his press conference earlier this week that he says that Sam Bradford could return to practice next week, so we'll have to keep our eye out on that. And the last news/note before we get to stat of the week is an interesting nugget that you put in here, Chris. It seems like every year there's great turnover among playoff teams. That's
crazy.
Kind of one great part about the NFL is in 1 year you can turn it around pretty quickly, and that has happened this year in the NFC.
It was really cool looking at this. Philadelphia, Minnesota, New Orleans, L.A. Rams, and Carolina Panthers have all clinched a postseason appearance for this season. All of those 5 teams were not in it last year. Yeah. That is, they were not in the playoffs last year.
It's pretty common for like 2 or 3, maybe 4, but we got 5.
5 teams.
Crashing the party.
And it's crazy because Atlanta's not in yet. They were the Super Bowl representative from the NFC. Seattle's not in. Those 2 teams will be battling for that last 6 seed.
Mm-hmm.
And those are 2 teams that have been in it every single year.
Yeah.
And to see 5 teams that weren't in it last year, obviously we had a ton of injuries last year, so that played into it. But it's definitely a cool stat. It's good for the league to have a lot of fan bases be able to watch their teams in the big games. So, that was a cool stat.
All righty, speaking of stat, let's go to the stat of the week. We kind of got 2 of them, but the one that you have written down here first is a good one. Put it on us.
Yeah, this is another stat I saw when I was on Twitter this week. NFL Research put this together, and this is a deep stat. The Vikings have a strong case to become the first team to play in the Super Bowl in its home stadium. Hasn't been done before, we know that. They have the #1 scoring defense and the #10 scoring offense. There have been 26 teams in the Super Bowl era that have had the #1 defense and the top 10 scoring offense.
Mm-hmm.
Over half of these teams have made it to the Super Bowl, 14 of 26. So 14 of 26 teams that have the offense and defense of the same caliber as the Vikings this year, they've made it to the Super Bowl. So
I like it.
I'll take those chances.
Hell yeah. So will I. Let's go. One more. Minnesota ranks first in the NFL in both yards allowed per game, 280, and points allowed per game, 16.1. And those numbers are even better when we're at home.
Yep.
We are at home this week. We will be at home in the divisional round of the playoffs if we win this week. And if we can get Lady Luck on our side for once.
Yeah.
Maybe someone can upend the Eagles in the divisional round and we'll host that NFC title game.
That would be something special to play.
Then win that game and play another home game in the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Sign me up for that.
All right. Let's look at
one game at a time.
One game at a time. We're not getting ahead of ourselves.
Let's start
here.
With the Bears. Let's get to know the Bears again.
We just have to give you some good stats because those have been floating around the
internet. Pardon us for being excited.
Yeah.
We just shut out the Packers. I mean,
That was incredible just to watch that game. And
yeah.
I mean, everyone watches Vikings.
We smushed the Packers.
And to watch them go 16-0, the offense looked good, but the defense looked spectacular.
Yeah. So. Hey, by the way, we've won 4 of the last 5 against Green Bay, and we've won 2 of the last 3 NFC North titles. I'm just saying that those are the facts.
Those are the facts. It's been fun to watch. Another funny stat, I'll bring this up. Detroit.
Yeah.
5-1 in the division this year.
They were?
They were 5-1.
No, they're 4-1 because they play Green Bay this week.
4-1.
No kidding.
And they're out of the playoffs already.
That's unbelievable.
I always said I'm scared of that team.
Yeah, you did. That was a team you didn't want to see in the playoffs.
I didn't want to see
them. I will give you that.
Yeah. All right. Wow. We'll go to the Bears. It was good to beat them at Soldier Field this year.
Yeah, it was.
It doesn't happen all the time.
It started our winning streak.
That started the 8-game winning streak.
Yep.
Which was cool. Chicago's 5-10 this year heading into this game. They've been eliminated from playoff contention, obviously. The Bears earned a 20-3 victory on Sunday over the winless Browns. So they are coming off of a victory. One thing to bring up. They have some good wins this year.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh,
yep.
23-17.
Okay.
They beat the Carolina Panthers,
17-3.
Both of those teams beat us this year.
Wow.
They beat the Baltimore Ravens, another
potential playoff team.
Exactly, 27-24, and they beat the Bengals. So the Bengals were not the same caliber win as the other three, but
right.
Looking at some of their wins, they can put together a good game. I know against the Ravens they had about 4 or 5 turnovers in that game on their defense. So not a team to be overlooked.
Right. They're not, and Mike Zimmer's not overlooking them. Being with Coach Zimmer a few times this week, you know, I can tell by what he's saying and his mood that he has not overlooked this team. He's not looking ahead to the divisional round and wondering if he's going to be playing the Falcons or the Saints or the Rams or whoever. He can't play the Falcons, but you know what I mean. He's not overlooking this Bears team. I know that. And I know that you're going to get to it here in Know Your Enemy, but the Bears, particularly on defense, are a physical team. And so I think the Vikings are expecting a bloodbath type of game, a physical game against the Bears, and I think we're going to get it. Hopefully, though, we can get out to a fast start and make Mitchell Trubisky play catch-up.
As we said, a 20-17 victory on October 9th at Soldier Field. It was definitely one of the biggest games of the year. Even Zimmer referenced that in his press conference this week. It did jumpstart that 8-game winning streak. Now we'll look at some of the key players on the Bears. As we head into this one, obviously Mitchell Trubisky, Coach Zimmer stressed in his press conference that Trubisky's a different player than he was when we saw him earlier in the year.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know exactly what he's seen because I haven't obviously watched film with Zim myself, but watching him and then kind of picking out some plays for Bursich to analyze on Vikings game plan this week, I think he's just a little more sure of his own offense. He just is operating faster within the offense. And then the other thing is his bailout mechanism is his mobility. He can run. He can pull the ball down and run, not only to extend the play and let his receivers get open, but to actually run for yards. He's got 150 yards rushing on third downs this season.
Wow.
And that is something the Vikings are going to have to be aware of. And it is top of mind for the Vikings because they had to worry about that with Brett Hundley and the Packers.
Yep.
And so I don't think this is going to be something that gets lost on the Vikings, but it is a weapon that the Bears offense has is Mitchell Trubisky's mobility.
It's funny you mentioned that because it seemed like in that game against the Packers, watching it on TV, like 3 or 4 guys were rushing the quarterback. And it looked like we were kind of making sure you keep – Hundley contained when it comes to him running the football, especially in that weather.
Yeah, and I think it was not just about stopping him from running. Mm-hmm. I think it's also about dropping seven and making him throw into seven-man coverage.
Yep, rather than him extending the play and finding an open man down the field.
Yeah.
I think it was more of, yeah.
Like we're not just going to put one defender on each receiver and let you throw into man coverage. We're going to put seven guys out there. So when you drop back and you're looking down the field at your receivers, you got to fit the ball in a spot among seven defenders. You know, and when you do that to an inexperienced quarterback like Brett Hundley and maybe Mitchell Trubisky, you're counting on them to make a mistake, as opposed to going after them and blitzing them and forcing them into a mistake. It's kind of a balance, and I think that's what we'll do against Trubisky this week.
And when you have the backup of the U.S. Bank Stadium fans,
there we go.
Boy, does that make a difference.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Looking at Trubisky's stats this year, 59.9% passing, 176 of 294 on the season. He has seven touchdowns, seven interceptions, and 2,115 yards. He's having an average rookie season. Obviously, he doesn't have the weapons around him that he would love to have. But, yeah, he's definitely a playmaker. He can definitely move, like you said, and he's definitely a guy to keep an eye on when looking at this team.
Yeah, he is, and it sounds like from what Zim's talking about that he's, you know, we haven't overlooked the Bears.
Yeah.
So I'm not anticipating huge problems against this team because I feel assured that we haven't overlooked them. I think that if you overlook the Bears, they could jump up and beat you, but I don't think the Vikings are overlooking
them. One guy to not overlook, and you did note this in your storylines this week, Jordan Howard.
Yeah, he's good.
He's good.
He's good.
288 yards. I pulled the stat from your article this week in two games against the past two games against the Vikings.
Yeah.
So he has definitely – he did it on Monday Night Football last year, and he's – continue to have good games against the Vikings on prime time. We don't want to see him do that on Sunday.
No, we don't. And he's got really good, a really good feel for getting to the perimeter. And then once he gets there, turning on his speed and going. And I think his timed speed is not that good, but he plays really fast. He also breaks tackles. It seems like he will kind of run into a cluster of defenders, like three or four defenders, and no one will really get him. And then he'll get out of that and pick up four or five more yards.
Yep.
He does that all the time. So he's a tough guy to bring down. He is definitely, by far, their number one weapon.
Absolutely.
You know, with no disrespect to Tariq Cohen or to any of their receivers, veteran Kendall Wright, no disrespect, but, I mean, Jordan Howard is their number one weapon.
He had two touchdowns last week on 22 attempts. He has nine rushing touchdowns on the season, over 1,000 yards already. And then, like you mentioned, Tariq Cohen's the other guy. He's a little guy, a little Darren Sproles-type player. He's got 357 yards on the ground and two scores this year. He helps them in special teams.
Mm-hmm.
He can catch the ball out of the backfield. So, looking at this team, the backfield is what I'm looking at.
Yeah, and we did a good job against Cohen in week five
when
we played the Bears on Monday Night Football. I think he had one catch for negative 6 yards, I think, if you go back and look at that game. So, I mean, and you know, Anthony Barr has had a really good season.
Yep.
And, you know, we've held Le'Veon Bell, 4 catches, 4 yards. Tariq Cohen, 1 catch, minus 6 yards. Did a good job against Theo Riddick. You know, and a big reason for that is Anthony Barr. He's kind of one of the guys that can neutralize a dual threat running back, and so I would anticipate that Anthony Barr's got visions of Tariq Cohen running in his head all week, because I'm sure the coaches are scheming up a way for Anthony Barr to be on Tariq Cohen, because it worked out well for us last time.
Going to the defensive side of the ball.
Yep, this is the best part about the Bears team is their defense.
That's for sure. They've always had good players, good linebackers. Guys to keep an eye on. They allowed 253 yards of offense against Cleveland. Sam Acho and Akeem Hicks split a sack for the Bears. Interceptions from Bryce Callahan and Kyle Fuller in that game.
Yep.
Hicks does lead the team with 8.5 sacks. And Fuller and Eddie Jackson and Callahan all have two interceptions this year. There are a lot of playmakers. Leonard Floyd is one
you
always keep an eye on. The Bears rank 8th in yards allowed per game, 318, and are 10th in the league in points allowed per game with 19.7. So that's this is a good defense.
It is a good defense, and they're down a couple of playmakers, including Floyd, so that's going to help our front. Now, Akeem Hicks is a monster. He's listed as a defensive end. He can really play anywhere along the defensive line. I think in the last three games, he's got 8 tackles for loss. Jeez. I think that's what it is against us. You'll have to double-check the numbers on that. But, I mean, he's been a monster against us. I think that Eddie Goldman is pretty good. Danny Trevathan is back in the lineup. He's kind of a tackling machine at linebacker. And so, yeah, they got some physical players up front with some athleticism, and we may be without center Pat Elflein, which means Joe Berger would play center, which means we're going to have a backup at guard. You know, so, I mean, we'll see. We'll see how this thing goes. But I think it's a big challenge up front to handle this front seven of the Bears defense. John Fox knows how to coach defense. So, you know, coming back inside is going to help our offense, I think, Chris, but this Bears defense is much better than Green Bay's defense. So the environment is more favorable, but the matchup is not more favorable. I think the Bears defense is a class above the Packers defense.
Agreed, and you brought up a good point with the offensive line. Just bringing up the injury report here, Pat Elflein, our starting center, did not participate in practice today and on Wednesday. So he has not practiced yet this week. Like you said, the next guy up is not Nick Easton anymore. He's on the injured reserve, so it'll be Joe Berger. Good news is Mike Remmers, the starting left tackle, did fully practice this week in both practices. But definitely a thing to keep an eye on in this game is how the offensive line is going to shake out, because now we got to fill the left guard spot, the center spot, and then as well as Berger's spot.
Right guard, yeah. So good to have Mike Remmers back, and now it's, you know, we've had to lean on Rashad Hill before in this season, and now we're going to have to do it again. He'll probably be the starter at right tackle, I would imagine, and I'm not trying to, break news or whatever, but I think, you know, Remmers could play guard.
Yep.
And Hill, probably you'd rather have him play tackle. So, I mean, a little bit of shuffling going to happen here for the offensive line. We'll see how it shakes out and what they do in the game, but that would be my guess for now.
Let's move forward to Wobby's mailbag.
All right.
We got three good questions this week. The first one's from Johnny Ray. If the Vikings defeat the Bears and the Eagles lose to the Dallas Cowboys this week, our overall and conference records will be absolutely identical.
Yep.
How did they already clinch home field advantage?
It all comes down to our loss to the Panthers, because that loss did two things that hurts us. One is it dropped our conference record below Philadelphia's, one game below Philadelphia's. Yeah. So that's why the Eagles have had the tiebreaker over us since that game. But as Johnny is saying, if the Eagles give one back in the conference and we finish with the same record and the same conference record, the Eagles still get the tiebreaker. Why? Goes back to the Carolina loss. Because the next tiebreaker after conference record with a team not in your division, mm-hmm. which the Eagles are not, is record against common opponents. So you take a look at both teams' schedules, the Vikings and the Eagles, and which opponents are common and what is each team's record against those opponents. The Eagles are 5-0 against teams the Vikings have also played.
Wow.
The Vikings are 4-1 against teams the Eagles have also played. That one loss
Carolina.
Is Carolina. So that Carolina loss really really hurt us when it comes to home field advantage.
The average fan wouldn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, it's minutia.
Yeah.
But you know what? More times than not, you'd be surprised how often you get to the third and fourth step in a tiebreaker. I mean, it happens a lot. And it happened to the Vikings here. And that's why when you hear coaches talk about this is a division game, it means double. This is a conference game, it means more than an AFC game. That's why it does. Because when you get into these tiebreaking situations, it matters how you perform against your conference.
Next question from Ellie. We have a fan in Montana.
All right.
I am driving from Montana for my first ever Vikings game this Sunday. Excited to cheer on the Vikes in person. Skol.
Love it. Welcome, Ellie, to Minnesota and to U.S. Bank Stadium. We hope you listened or are listening to the Wobcast as you enjoy your stay in Minnesota or as you make the drive from Montana. I would have to imagine that's a good 12-plus hours. No matter where you come from in Montana, you got to get through one of the Dakotas and then drive through most of Minnesota to get to Minneapolis.
That's a long drive.
That's a long drive, and we hope the weather was good. We hope you enjoy your time at U.S. Bank Stadium and in the great state of Minnesota. Make yourself comfortable and come back for a playoff game or the Super Bowl.
I think U.S. Bank Stadium might be the loudest place that Ellie from Montana will ever go to.
Might be. It might be.
I don't know how loud it gets in Montana, but
hey, Ellie, add us on Twitter and let us know what you think of the noise level inside U.S. Bank Stadium when the game's over.
It's definitely something different in person than it is on television.
For sure.
All right, next question and final question from Jeff. The starting defense for Minnesota gets decent recognition as a whole, and most of us know the stars and what their strengths are. How about a little extra info on three guys who don't get the publicity but line up and get snails energy every week?
Whatever that means.
I don't know what that means, but I like it.
Yep.
There's one at each level on this starting defense. What should we know about Tom Johnson, Ben Gedeon, and Andrew Sendejo?
All right.
Skull from Jeff.
Well, let's give him some knowledge about these three players. Chris, you fill in some of the gaps if I miss anything. Tom Johnson is a guy who starts on defense for us, signed with us and was a backup, but is starting now because Sharif Floyd is no longer playing games, so Tom Johnson was elevated. He offers some quickness and explosion out of the three technique and some pass rushing ability. On rundowns, he'll come out of the game and Shamar Stephan will come in, but Tom Johnson gives you some explosiveness and some versatility on the defensive line.
I think you described him perfectly.
Okay.
He's been all over the place. He's played in the CFL.
Yep.
He's played for the New Orleans Saints. He's a veteran, and he's really earned that starting spot in the middle of the line. So he's been a player who's been around the quarterback all year. So definitely one to keep an eye on in the middle of the defense. Next, Ben Gedeon.
Yeah. Also, I want to say Tom Johnson, a super awesome dude. Really nice guy.
Everyone who speaks to him has nothing but good things to say.
He's an awesome guy. Love Tom Johnson. All right, Ben Gedeon, rookie linebacker out of Michigan. Scott Studwell told us during the post-draft coverage that we had on Vikings.com that he loved Ben Gedeon. So, like, if Scott Studwell loves him, y'all should love him, right? I mean, so because, like, Scott Studwell doesn't just love people just, you know, for the heck of it. So, instinctive player, plays in our base defense, but is our leading tackler on special teams, and that is where he's maybe had the most value as a rookie. But he also does play on the base defense, so he's been good there.
Yeah, he's a guy who has a nose for the ball.
Yeah.
He finds the ball, whether it's on special teams. He does play in that third linebacker spot, but as we know, the Vikings are in the nickel a lot, so he's not always on the field with the starters. But when he's out there, sometimes he makes good plays, and you don't notice him.
Yeah.
He's a guy, if you're a rookie and you get noticed, that's when you think, all right, this guy doesn't belong out here.
Yep.
He doesn't get noticed when he's out there, and he definitely is able to make a big tackle.
Yep.
Last, Andrew Sendejo, he's been around for a little while, so
yeah.
We'll give you a little something on him.
Well, every offseason it's like, how can we replace Sendejo? Let's draft someone. Let's sign a free agent. Let's hold on to these guys from, you know, the practice squad. And all Andrew Sendejo does every year is win the starting job. And now I think he's a staple in the defense because he knows Mike Zimmer's defense. The entire defensive playbook is open when Sendejo is in the game. And if Sendejo can't play, someone else has to sub for him, the entire playbook is not open. I think you have to pare it down a little bit. So there's a lot of value that Sendejo brings. And he's got great synergy with Harrison Smith. And it's important for those two safeties to complement one another and to communicate well. Sendejo and Smith are buddies. They complement each other well on the field. So I think Sendejo offers a lot of value.
Yeah, we've brought in Michael Griffin, a veteran that came in training camp. He didn't win the job over Sendejo. We've had rookies come in. We've had athletic players come in, and this guy is just a smart guy. He just continues to win the job, like you said, and him and Harrison Smith are always together.
I mean, whether it's
in the locker room, here or there, on the football field as well. But, yeah, and he hits. He hits people.
Yeah, he lays the wood for sure.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to the over-under segment. We've been keeping this segment going the last couple weeks. I think this is a good week to do it, the last week of the season.
Yep.
Starting out with the best player on the Chicago Bears offense, in my opinion, Jordan Howard. Under or over 85 rushing yards. He only had 47 last week, but he has had 288 in the past two games combined against the Vikings. So under over 85, I think that's a middle-of-the-run fair number for him.
Yeah, that is a fair number, and I'm going under. I think that Jordan Howard will not have much success. I think the Vikings will be hell-bent on stopping the run, and Jordan Howard will be their top priority, and I just don't think the Bears can overcome that. They may be down two starting offensive linemen in this game. They will be down Kyle Long. They're probably going to be down Josh Sitton. And Bobby Massey, their right tackle, has also not been practicing. So I think they're going to have a hard time moving the line of scrimmage, and I don't see Jordan Howard getting 85 rushing yards.
That's why I love these over-under questions, because you think about them, and then you say, and then you realize offensive linemen are out for Chicago, so we get to share facts like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go over, though.
Okay.
I hate to do it. We love to be positive here, but I think if there's one part of the Bears offense that can get us, it'll be Jordan Howard.
Okay.
We've shut down every big running back this year, but that would be one where I'd say maybe over.
Okay.
14 points total for the Chicago Bears. We know the effect that U.S. Bank Stadium has on teams compared to when we play them in other places. 14 seems like a fair number for Chicago.
Yep, it does, and I'm going to go under. Surprise, surprise. I want to point out, no offense to my man Teddy Bridgewater, to our man Teddy Bridgewater, but I think if Case Keenum finishes the Bengals game, I think we have two shutouts in a row.
Wow.
Because the Bengals got they got their touchdown off of that turnover.
Yep.
And I'm just saying, like, shutouts barely ever happen, and this defense might have had two in a row if not for that Bridgewater interception. So I think they're hot. I think they're on fire, and I think they completely overmatch this Bears offense. I do not see them scoring two touchdowns.
I'm going to go under, and I'm going to bring up something else, and it's the first time we played Chicago. They scored on a trick play. Remember they had that trick play in on special teams where they did, like, a punch?
Oh, yeah.
And that's what put them that's how they scored one of their touchdowns in that game. The Vikings, I think, will keep their eyes out on plays like that. Going forward, 14 points, like we said, when teams go to U.S. Bank Stadium, their average points are way down from what they scored. 17 at home at Soldier Field this year. I'm going under 14.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This last one, Case Keenum has been really good at home. So I'm going to say over under two touchdowns at U.S. Bank Stadium on Sunday.
I like this one because I think we're going to score in the neighborhood of 27 points in this game.
Yeah.
3 to 4 touchdowns. But I think we can run the ball and score in the red zone and impose our will. Even though they have a really physical front, I just think we're going to be knocking on the door a bunch of times because our defense is going to put our offense in good spots.
Yep.
So I think you could say under on this, but still score 28 points in the game. Mm-hmm. But I am going to say over. I think Rudy's going to get at least one touchdown, and I think one of the wide receivers gets one as well. So that's two. And I'm going to get a bonus third touchdown, maybe a rushing one, or maybe Rudy gets two. So mark me down for the over.
I'm going over too. The last time we played them, Kyle Rudolph had a big day. I think he broke like a Vikings tight end franchise record in that game. I see him catching one as well. I see Thielen coming out. For some reason at home, Thielen finds a way to make a big play.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Stephon Diggs will be another guy who he had a great game in Green Bay, and I think he can do it again. So I'm going over. There was another stat that our Craig Peters brought up.
What?
The combined Diggs-Rudolph Thielen connection is 13th in Vikings history in receiving yards as a combination of two receivers and a tight end. They can move up to like 8th or 9th if they have like 200 yards combined. Obviously, a lot of those combinations have Randy Moss and Chris Carter in there.
For sure.
But still pretty impressive to be in the top 15 of all time, and they'll be able to move up that list.
And you know who I think should get a lot of credit for that? Is Pat Shurmur.
For sure.
Yeah. I think he's done a great job of calling plays and designing offense and working with Keenum, you know, and I just can't say enough about the job Pat Shurmur has done for the Vikings this season. So, yeah. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Wobcast. We hope you guys enjoy the game. It's a normal game, and what I mean by normal is Sunday at noon, you can catch the Vikings, of course, on the Vikings Radio Network, where Paul Allen, Pete Bursich, Greg Coleman, and Ben Lieber will bring you the game if you're going to watch it on TV. The game will be on Fox. Kevin Burkhart, Charles Davis will call the game from the booth. And Pam Oliver will have sideline reporting duties for Fox. The pregame show that we put on here at the Vikings Entertainment Network also airs on Fox 9 locally. That will begin at 10 o'clock. And the pregame show on the Vikings Radio Network also begins at 10 o'clock a.m. Central Time. It's hosted by Mike Musman. Before we go, I want to remind you about two ways you can catch great Vikings content in on-demand fashion. Be the first to know breaking Vikings news, access video on demand, and get ticket alerts all on your phone with the Minnesota Vikings app. Download today in the App Store and Google Play. If you don't have the Vikings app yet, I don't know why you don't have it, but you need it. You won't regret it. Also, the Vikings and KFAN Radio, our partner, have teamed up to create the all-new Vikings channel on the iHeartRadio app. Hear exclusive interviews, press conferences, breakdowns of your favorite team. Download the free iHeartRadio app and search Minnesota Vikings to find the Vikings channel. Thank you, Chrissy. Good job on the show today. And thank you all for listening. We hope you enjoy the game on Sunday. It should be a Vikings win, which will give us a first-round bye. Lots of fun things to talk about and what will be a relaxing off week next week, we hope. And then we get ready for a big divisional round game against a really good NFC team. Lots of fun stuff ahead. All right, a belated Merry Christmas to all of you. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. Talk to you next week. Yeah.